Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley. Happy 2024, and I am excited for the news of Baekhyun potentially creating his own entertainment company. 2024 is going to be the year of like entertainment companies retaining the core group, but like those artists going off and doing their own solo activities at a different company. Like Blackpink has already, all those members have left YG, but like Blackpink is still at YG, you know, EXO is still at SM, but Dio has already left to do solo activities elsewhere. Like, this is going to be the year of that, is my
prediction.
And
we will fully discuss that today on this topic. All right, yeah. Hello, Gabe.
Hello, it's Gabe. In my research today, I stumbled upon this new group that just debuted last month, and I'm excited to share some more details about it in this episode. So yeah.
Okay, you guys stay tuned. All right. So as Ashley and Gabe both alluded to, we're really excited to have a two-part series. This is the first of two, where we're going to discuss the big K-pop companies. And historically, K-pop companies have been defined by really the big three, SM, JYP, and YG. As of today, in the year 2024, January, there's been some discussion about big K-pop companies, and we can't talk about big K-pop companies without expanding from three to four. And four is the inclusion of the big HYBE corporation. So, which has really, you know, started from the ground up on that one. So, but all of these companies have. So in this first episode, we're going to cover the historical big three, and then we're going to dedicate a whole episode to the expansion of the big four discussion of HYBE. So we're not excluding HYBE. We are actually going to talk a whole episode about that in a future podcast. So today we're going to go through each of the three, and Ashley is going to start us off with just some background and just some takes on YG.
So YG Entertainment was formed in 1996 by Yang Hyun-suk, who is a former member of the first ever K-pop group, SOTAGI and the Boys. He started in 1996, and it started off as like him managing different artists. He created different K-pop groups that didn't really take off in the first couple of years of YG's like existence, and they started to gain mainstream recognition in 2003 with the group Jinushan, which is a hip-hop duo, and that just kind of like made YG's name known in like Korea. And in 2006, YG became a huge like international name with the debut of Big Bang, and that was huge because like as you know, like Big Bang is a global company, or like not company, global group. And then in with the success of Big Bang, they started to create more hip-hop groups. So in 2009, they debuted 21, mm-hmm. which is known for their music and fashion choices. YG, something that's consistent about YG is that they've always been a like hip-hop centered company. So all the groups that I'll name right now, they're in the like hip-hop, R&B, like kind of pop genre. So 2009, 21 debuted. Then in 2012, this is when YG like really gained like a global recognition, because Psy came out with Gangnam Style, and it was like a viral hit. I even remember in 2012 like doing Gangnam Style at like fraternity parties.
I was gonna say high school dances for me, just a little bit, you know, shy of you, Ashley.
Yeah, yeah. Then in 2016, prior to 2016, they were just kind of like managing different artists. Then in 20, 16, they expanded to television. So they had like a reality show that produced the group winner. They signed the K-pop, like the show K-pop Star, which was like a singing, like American Idol competition show. They signed Lehigh, they signed ACMU, Bang Yedam. Like this was their television expansion year.
Icon.
Icon, yeah, Icon. Then in 2016, that's when Blackpink debuted, which, as you know, still in our year 2024, like is a global group. What happens next is kind of they experienced a big year of controversy, which they, in my opinion, are still recovering from. So in 2020 or in 2019, that's when three big things happened. Big Bang Sungri had his Burning Sun scandal, which, if you go back to our episode three, like I think it's called YG Dumpster Fire. That's where we outline everything that happened in the Burning Sun scandal. So Sungri, who's a member of Big Bang, he had all this controversy and he left the group. It was a huge, like, national controversy, and a lot of people signed at YG left because they didn't want their name to be dragged with the YG. Then BI left Icon because he got caught up in a drug scandal, and YG himself like was reported to help cover it up with the police. Like it was a big thing. And then YG, like the founder, left at the company and like resigned as CEO because he also got caught up in like accusations of like selling, like providing sexual like experiences for investors and stuff. Like it was all bad. So 2019 was like YG's darkest year. And since then, like, 2020, we had the pandemic, so nothing really happened except like album releases and online concerts. And then once we came out of the pandemic, Blackpink had their Coachella performance, Big Bang had a comeback, Treasure debuted and also had some albums. So like YG now has fully rebounded from all that controversy they experienced in 2019, but in my opinion, there's still like a lot of people haven't forgotten about all that stuff. And what helped them rebound financially is like their expansion into Western markets. Like international fans are really helping like prop that company back up. I'm not entirely sure of like the sentiment nationally from Koreans, but I mean, as a K-pop fan that's been following, like I have not forgotten about all that stuff. So despite all of that, like they have rebounded and they're doing good now. The artists, like I said before, a lot of artists have left YG as recent of last, like as of last year. So the YG like lineup of artists signed there is pretty short. We
It's
have
so small now. I was looking through it.
yeah, so they really only have ACMU, Winner, Blackpink, Treasure, and Baby Monster. That's five groups.
When's the last time Winner had a comeback?
I think Mino is doing his own. I mean, Mino had his own controversies too, like there's like a lot of controversies with a lot of people over there, you know. All these groups, like Big Bang is technically still a group at the company, but like ever since Sungri left and now all of the members have left YG, like I don't know if they're gonna be doing activities anymore. Like it's just awkward and bad. So they have those five main groups, six main groups at YG. A lot of their soloists are at their sub label, the Black Label, which is headed by producer Teddy. So they at the Black Label, they have Zion T, Jeon Somi, Taeyang, Vince, pretty much like pop R&B soloists, and then some notable actors that are and models that are over at the sub label are like Po Park Bo-gum and that like half Korean white girl Ella Gross. She's like Insta famous. I don't know if you guys know her, but anyway. Yeah. So it seems like YG is a pretty small company in terms of lineup, but they actually still have a large presence in K-pop because they have like they have arms in different aspects of entertainment. So they have like a really, really big modeling agency, which has like I don't need I didn't count, but from the list it looks like 50 plus models signed over at YG. And the most notable ones were Lee Sung Kyung. She's like the lead actress in Weightlifting Fairy. And the guy who plays Namdo Sun used to be signed at YG. So there's like a lot of actors and models over there. And they have like different wings where their artists and models could like go from acting to modeling to singing to like brand stuff. Like they have their arm in different things. And so a lot of my thoughts around YG as of recent, because of all of the big names that have left YG, I've considered like removing them from the big three. But after my analysis or my research online, I think because they have so many arms in different aspects of entertainment, I would still consider them like big three.
You know, it's funny that you're mentioning that they have their arms in different places. It's a little fun fact. Back when I was watching the Produce series, the show that created the season that created 101, YG actually sent trainees to the show and they competed along with everyone else, but they weren't like idol trainees. They were from like the modeling branch. Yeah, so it was like was really interesting because they like flashed like, oh my gosh, they're from YG, but they weren't necessarily like idol trainees, but
Yeah.
they like were still able to do idol related things.
Yeah. Everyone has an opportunity to do anything they want over there. Like Taeyang could go into modeling and acting, and he could be supported by like YG overall because they have so many sub labels doing like random things. Yeah. The last thing I'll say about YG is that they've lost a lot of big names. So they still have the groups like Big Bang, Blackpink, signed at the company, but the members are doing their individual activities elsewhere. So like G-Dragon, for example, just left YG and is starting, I think, his own entertainment company that's gonna support his individual activities. So are all the members of Blackpink. So like I said
What
in
do
my
you
intro,
think, yeah, Ashley, what do
yeah.
you think it means for big artists like G-Dragon to not re-sign with YG after like basically living half of their lives at YG?
Yeah. Did you
Like,
know
what does
that
it mean for them? What does it mean?
did you know that G Dragon tr was a trainee at YG? Like he's been there since he was 13.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's like what does it mean then for all of it, like all of a sudden to leave the nest so abruptly, it seems?
Yeah, I think
Because
with
he's not
big
creating his own label, right? He's
I think he
not at
might be
his.
joining an
Yeah, he's
existing label.
joining somewhere else. He's not creating something on his own.
Right.
So what does it mean for him to like feel like he needs a new home? Like, I just feel like that's
Yeah.
a little bit sus, you know? Like, what does it mean for YG to like really let go and not fight hard enough to create a home where their biggest artist, arguably, right, is even looking around for a different nest?
Yeah. I think with big companies comes a lot of bureaucracy. Like, there's so many layers of people you need to go through in order to get one thing done. And so, moving to a little company or a smaller company would like cut back on all of that. Like you could get things done faster, you could produce like more things that wouldn't necessarily be approved at the bigger company. So I'm sure he's leaving because he has more artistic freedom. He's probably going to get paid more, like in terms of percentages, probably. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah, same for the four girls, right? Like, what does it mean for YG that they like, if I was a YG executive, I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure that they si still sign on,
I know.
even as individuals. So I'm just like, what is going on there? It makes me kind of question, like, management. We know that Blackpink, the
Yeah.
criticism about Blackpink, not Blackpink itself themselves, but the criticism of Blackpink is that they've been in the industry for so long but don't have a very wide and long discography, right? Which is a company related problem. So I'm just like, okay, if these are the problems, then we gotta fix them for these four people specifically to make
Yeah.
sure that our company stays afloat.
Yeah, and I'm sure these people have like YG does not have a good history of supporting their solo artists. Like CL was in the basement for
That's
what,
true. Now she's
10
gone.
years or whatever, and now she's gone. Like they probably are looking at history and they don't want it to repeat for themselves, and so they would rather just move on, you know?
Mind you, like CL, in a lot of ways, like stayed loyal to YG, even though she wasn't getting anything for so long. Like all the 21 girls. So, anyways, I think that they are still a big three company, but honestly, like in my view, things aren't necessarily looking up for them. Like, especially with the departure of Blackpink as individual artists. And I'm gonna go into that a little bit in the company that I'm gonna go through, but they basically let go of Blackpink. They basically have let go of 21. They basically have let go of Big Bang. Those are all the companies that created them. They let go of Psy, you know, like, well, he ventured off to create P Nation, so that's another story, and he could really do anything after Gangnam Style. But like,
Yeah.
what is really going on over there? Like, I'm not really sure. But the one reassuring thing that I know about YG is that when they do release something and decide to do something, I know it's going to be a very high quality. And
Yeah.
for example, Junsomi. Like, for example, when Blackpink has a comeback.
Yeah.
Like it's like 10 out of 10, but it
Yeah.
happens like never.
So infrequently.
Very infrequently. So, anyways, Gabe, do you have any thoughts on YG as a company?
Right now, I mean, I don't think there's. I looked at the. When you look up, kind of just Google their name, you can see the trajectory of the stocks, right? And out of all the big three, I think theirs was the only one that was like downward trajectory. So
Interesting.
I think the shareholders also kind of reflect the same sentiments that you were mentioning earlier about like it doesn't look good with all the recent news of like people, individual artists leaving. Like it just doesn't instill confidence in the general public also.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm really interested to see, like, what happens to if Blackpink is actually going to have a group comeback under YG. Because I think
One.
it says a lot, because so it's kind of like a hybrid. Like, we'll probably talk about this. GOT7 decided to leave everything, leave the nest, go their own separate ways, but still do group comebacks, not under JYP. Other girls, Girls' Generation, a handful of girls have left, but they provided evidence to us that they want to promote as a group with SM because they have. I want to see what's going to happen to Blackpink. Like, is this all talk? Or is YG actually going to still work to help them promote as the four of them? Because there wasn't a lot of work going on when they were individually and group signed with them. But what's going to happen now? I don't know. Anyways, okay, let's move from YG to JYP himself or themselves.
Yeah, so I did my research about JYP, and so some background is first founded in 1997 by the man himself, currently about 300 plus employees, and some notable artists, at least right now, that are under the company. There's more than I know I've heard of and have seen kind of all of them debut and whatnot, but there's more than I would have thought. So it includes like 2PM, Day6, Twice, new group called Boy Story, Stray Kids, ITZY, NIZZY, Extraordinary Heroes, NMIX, VCHA, and then some new ones as well, like Golden Girls, which debuted last month. And then like a new Japanese group that's supposed to debut, I don't know when, but sometime soon. So they kind of, I think, like Ashley was mentioning with YG and how they kind of have their, they have their hands on a lot of different places. JYP is the same, where they have kind of a lot of Korean artists, but they've also recently kind of expanded more to Japan, China, and the US with kind of all of these joint ventures and partnerships that they've set up.
They're really invested in Japan right now, I feel like, out of all of the large companies. Really invested, yeah.
So currently they're kind of like all over the place. I think I personally don't give the company enough credit for all the work that they've done and all the growth that they've kind of experienced in the recent years. But that's just not me. And so if we kind of rewind the clock all the way back, when I was looking through kind of the history of the company, it was really kind of built on a foundation of like two groups that kind of allowed the company to expand into and grow. So firstly was Wonder Girls, who debuted in 2006. They were the first K-pop group to have a song on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And then the second one, which came about 10 years later, was Twice, who debuted in 2015. And so each of those kind of two girl groups really set the foundation for JYP to have enough kind of, I think, capital basically to like invest in other ventures and get to where they are today. So yeah, currently the market capitalization of the company, they're worth over $2.6 billion. And compared to, so I looked at kind of the other kind of big companies as well. HYBE is valued at around 8 billion. YG is at about 0.6 billion, and then SM is at about 1.67 billion. So out of all the K-pop companies, JYP I think is the second highest valued one.
It's interesting. I would not have expected that.
I know, me too. I was
It's
like,
probably the big Twice factor. I wouldn't have expected it either, but
yeah, I think a lot of it came from Twice and then Stray Kids more recently, and then NMIX and ITZY as well.
Japan.
And so then we mentioned how YG had a lot of kind of departures from the company. JYP has also had its like fair share of people leaving, but I wouldn't say it's like the nature of people leaving is not in this is not kind of in the same way that it happens at YG. Like people leave kind of more for more, I think, natural reasons, with the few exceptions here or there. For example, like Wonder Girls, they just kind of stopped activities because they grew out of it, I think, at a certain point. And then same thing with 2PM and 2AM. And then GOT7, of course, they had their famous kind of fallout with JYP in 2021. But other than that, I think GOT7 and Woojin from Stray Kids are the only two that I can think of where there's actually controversy surrounding the departure of those people. And then I would also say that the GOT7 departure didn't necessarily negatively impact the company as a whole too much, because since 2021, JYP has still continued to grow and invest in like new groups. And most recently, which I mentioned in my intro, Golden Girls, which is a JYP personal kind of project that he's doing. He basically reached out to KBS and was like, let's form a group, a girl group that's made up of like 50 and 60-year-old women.
All
I've seen this.
right.
I didn't know that it was a JYP
It's a
project.
JYP project, yeah. So
Of course, it's a JYP
they're
project.
like really well established and like good singers. And then
Right.
JYP got the idea. He was like, let's put them in a group and make them, you know, promote and stuff.
I've
And
seen a
so,
lot of buzz about that.
yeah. And so, like, I feel like there's, and I, this is where I give JYP some credit because he has taken a lot of kind of like creative leaps of courage over the years, I think, to put it lightly. with like his ventures into Japan, China, the US, and then now with Golden Girls, I think he picked up on the fact that there's an appetite in Korea for this kind of stuff. And I think back to like WSG Wannabe, the MBC project group, and how popular they were. Like, you know, having these like really good actual singers in K-pop is something you don't really get very much anymore. And
Right.
so that's something I
Yeah.
think JYP was correct on. Yeah.
He might be a big goofball, but he's a big brain in there.
He is a big brain in there. I think that he's like, in the spirit of what Gabe just said, he's really good at making those like passing shower thoughts like into reality. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have thought about like, oh, let's just put like old people that are talented into a group, and then it just kind of passes, right? But JYP is like, no, I'm gonna do that. And it's like kind of like a gag idea, but at the same time, it's like a very serious endeavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has the money, so why not?
Yeah. And I said this in the last episode when Gabe gave JYP a boy, a male artist of the year, but he is an all media is good media type of guy. Like, doesn't necessarily have to be good. If it's bad, that's okay. And it just like keeps him and his company in his in the in the top of the thought.
And it's not like the bad press is like really bad press either.
Yeah,
Like
it's not bad press. It's just
it's one
gag
thing to have
press.
like Seungri bad
Yeah,
press, but
exactly.
like you like you doing a cringe like hip thrust on like
Yeah,
Music Bank
exactly.
is not the same. It's not the same level. So yeah, I think he's definitely maybe a subtle g a hidden genius in that regard, and I'll give it to him for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought of YG as like a, not YG, I'm sorry, JYP as like a one trick pony. You know, they don't have a lot of solo artists over
Yeah.
there. They only have groups. And I remember even when we were speculating about Nayeon and like Jiho's debut, like how that was gonna go, because they just like, they don't have history of supporting soloists. So like we were thinking it was going to be like weird, or like we were thinking that those artists would probably leave, and to some extent that my opinion of that still holds. You know, they only still have groups over there, but like there is a lot of diversity in the groups, so I don't know. We'll see what happens in 2024. Like they have success with Jiho and Nayeon solo debuts. Like they do have a subunit over at Stray
Twice
Kids.
and twice too, the Japanese
Yeah,
girls.
right. So I wonder what's gonna happen with like soloists over at Y or JYP.
And I think with all the Twice members renewing their contract over there, that really kind of sets the company up as a whole to like move forward more securely or more confidently, right? Because they know that Twice is always going to bring in their money, whether it's like a GKO or a Nayeon solo or like a group thing. And so from there, like JYP can invest in like kind of the more innovative things like VCHA or, you know, Golden Girls. So, or ITZY even,
Yeah,
like.
they are really planning for not a post Twice world, but a more than Twice world, I would say. And I'm interested to see how this all pans out. Because as we've mentioned on this pod, if I'm just looking at like 2022, 2023, like apart from Stray Kids, I don't know what the other groups have really done in terms of impact. Right? Like Twice is older now. They're not gonna do three comebacks a year. ITZY and NMIX have been subject to a lot of negative criticism as of the last 2 years. Like I think they also need to do a little pickup here.
Like a back to basics type of thing, you
Back
know?
to
Like they
basics type of thing, apart from Stray Kids, back to basics, I think. And I think they've been doing that in Japan, but I don't know if they've been doing a lot of that back to basics in Korea.
Well, they've been trying with ITZY and NMIX, but it's just not working.
Yes, that's in my opinion true. I think there's a lot of good things going on in JYP, and I will also say that compared to YG and SM, where the top executives were ridden with scandal. Again, what Gabe says is very true. JYP has never been convicted of crimes.
It's a low bar.
But for top executives, that's just so common, right? Like the temptation of money, the temptation of greed. It's so present, right? And YG to this point like hasn't been subject to a lot of investigation and things like that, and that cannot be said about YG and SM. SM up until last year, but this year completely was crazy for them. Anyways, any final thoughts about JYP before I move on? All right, so that'd be a good transition then to SM. I'm going to take us just very, very, very briefly because Ashley in episode 112 provided a really good overview of all of the SM history and all of the current events that were very negative in the year 2023 for the reputation of that company. And quite frankly, they almost lost it all, I will just say. Last year, they really rolled the dice there and they got saved by like just a little bit. And everything got salvaged. But 2023 was not a great year for the company itself. But in general, if we're rewinding, the company was founded in 1989. So it was one of the earliest ones compared to the other two that we already talked about. And they're responsible for kind of like the rise of K-pop, right? Founded by Lee Soo-man himself, very, very famous debuts by HOT, SES, BoA, home to TVXQ, Super Junior, Girls' Generation, FX, not necessarily FX anymore, but SHINee, EXO, Red Velvet, NCT, aespa, and RISE, all of which are household names in the K-pop industry. So I kind of provided commentary in terms of what I see are the company's strengths and what I see are the company's weaknesses. So, in terms of strengths, I feel like apart from the 2023 scandal year, which again, they almost lost their entire company because of some actions by Lee Soo-man and a possible integration with HYBE. In general, I feel like if you're putting that aside, they're really good at building their brand, a positive brand. And they're really good at building an artist following. And when I was thinking about that, I was like, this is kind of like Disneyland. I always saw like SM as like kind of like Disneyland. There's so much going on. Like every aspect of K-pop life kind of like is intertwined with SM, in my opinion. And when something comes out, like for, I don't know, NCT or something, it's somehow connected to some other SM-related activity or group that's separate, but that kind of like entices you to get into other things. Like it's kind of like,
SMCU.
yeah, it's the
The
Marvel universe, right?
yeah.
Like it's just everything. There's just so much going on and a lot of wonder in there. A lot of
Yeah.
magic. Like they actually tried to, create this Marvel universe concept, a couple years back. So I feel like they're really good at building their brand and they're really good at building their artist following. And this is probably a pro and a con. I think what SM is really good at is getting K-pop stans to invest in the artists. So, for example, when NCT releases a polarizing release, you're going to consume it for NCT, even though the song isn't a 10 out of 10. Like you're investing in the people
Yeah.
as well as the music, but you're investing in the people and the artists. And I think it's like a little bit different from some of the other companies where they have to release a 10 in order for it to get people's attention. And I think that's actually one of SM's strengths is that like you're not always going to release like a number one hit, but people are still going to consume it because they're very invested in the people that are singing it or the people that are performing it. So I think there's something to be said there. Another strength that I see is the longevity. We've talked a lot about how people are leaving from other companies. They're leaving their nests, so to speak, and venturing off. And certainly that's happened to a lot of SM artists. But as a whole, like we still see performances by BoA. We still like TVXQ just came out with the full-length album. Girls' Generation famously had their 15-year anniversary comeback, right? Like SHINee also this year. Like we're talking 10 plus years for most of these groups. And they're still active and they still want to be active together under their home company, even though some people have left. So Super Junior is off doing their own thing, but they promote kind of still within the confines of SM. EXO recently, as Ashley mentioned, right? Dio is no longer an SM artist, but says that he's still gonna do like group promotions, like as an EXO member, right? So I think there's something there. Like most people have stayed with notable departures, but they have a big cast, they have a big lineup. And I think it's also a good thing that, for example, Baekhyun and other big names in the company are going to create now their own companies to spread their talent and spread their love, right? So I think longevity is really a strength of the company. Like when I think of K-pop, I think of SM because they still bring first and second generation K-pop into generation 4 and 5, which is really, really cool. In general, I think that they produce really solid work. I think they're really good at doing the basics of K-pop, but at the same time, they're not scared of producing experimental and, when the experimental works, groundbreaking work. So, for example, like aespa came out in 2021 or 2020, 2021. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is this AI stuff, right? And what is this, like, virtual world? But at the end of the day, like in a post-2020 world, everyone is now talking about like virtualness, right? Like everything is available in this like online virtual concept, right? So I think that they're sometimes ahead of their time, but if you look back at it, it kind of works. And yes, sometimes it's polarizing because it's not always going to work, but I said, like, oh, I probably am not going to be really into aespa, but I mean, I somehow kind of made my way in a little bit. I said the same thing for NCT when they came out with Seven Cents. It's like, there's, oh, what is this? I'm fully in now. Like, that's just how it is, I guess. So, and I think that they're only able to produce solid work because they acquire a lot of talent. And I think that they are the most talented vocalists in the industry that are housed there. And also, like, performance is really good there. They're just really good and multi-talented at a lot of different things. And of course, also have to mention that they have super groups like Got the Beat with BoA and company, and then Super M, which is really interesting. Okay, here are some of the weaknesses that I feel like SM has. I feel like they are a main street, like they are a household name within Korean entertainment. But these days, and this wasn't said about SM before, but these days I feel like they lack a little bit of global influence. So, like, yes, they've had Super M, but these days, compared to HYBE, they don't as strongly prioritize Western promotions. And maybe it's not so much of a weakness at all, in my opinion, but I think their priorities are just different, which is interesting. So they don't as strongly prioritize Western promotions to the extent of other companies. Weakness is definitely the scandals and controversies of last year. I think it screwed up a lot of their timeline. I was just like overwhelmed by so many things that were coming out in November and December because of, I think, a lot of backlog that happened. Like, NCT was almost too busy, in my opinion, and it was just like too much going on all at once. They have so many soloists coming out like every other week with something. Sometimes it just is a little too much. And I feel like, again, this could be a strength and a weakness. Sometimes they prioritize quantity over quality in a way that's completely separate, completely opposite to YG, for example. Like, SM is coming out with something like every other day, right? But is it like always the highest quality? No. But again, like, that could be a strength and a weakness, but that's just something different that distinguishes the two, right?
I feel
Like,
like
there's
SM.
no dungeon there, really.
Yeah. I feel like SM is the only company where, like, they would have overlapping releases for artists in the same company.
I completely agree. I was like, why is like Red Velvet, a third full-length album, coming out within 1 or 2 weeks of everyone else? And then everyone's busting in to get the end of the year, an end of the year comeback. It's like, can we just slow down here? Like, and let your artists have like the time in the light without having to compete against your other fellow artists. Too many things cooking in there sometimes. So it's all about timing. Like, to spread things out a little bit over the span of 52 weeks, right? But that is also a strength because, like, longevity. They have a lot of artists to take care of, and they have a lot of artists that want to do things. So, anyways.
I think what also sets SM apart is, like you said, they support their artists in all aspects of what they want to do, they support them in group activities, to some extent in solo activities, and then in like other types of activities they want to do, like Hyo and what's his name? The guy from Chicago, Johnny,
What
they're
the?
DJs. Like SM has a DJ wing that they could explore and like expand on those activities. And so SM, I think compared to JYP and YG, they like really support their artists whole, like fully. What I'm nervous about is that going away in 2024, like with the departure of Dio, potentially Baekhyun, Chen, Schumin, like I don't want them leaving YG, I mean SM, even if it is just
For
for their solo act.
individual.
Right, because I think what sets SM apart also is like because they have the SMCU like cinematic universe thing happening, they're the only company that's retained this like family image.
Right.
And all of the artists, they support each other. I mean, albeit like they have to because of contractually, but like they do TikToks together, they do songs together, there's still an SM family concert. Like
Yes.
JYP and YG used to have family concerts like back in
Yeah.
second generation K-pop, but now they're those artists within those companies are so different from each other. Like, I don't ever see Blackpink supporting ATMO, you know, or like
That's true.
Winner. They do in some instances, but like NCT is always out there on aespa's TikToks, you
The
know.
feeling is different. The
The
feeling of
feeling
like
is very
ties is
different,
different. Yeah.
right? And my hope for SM is that they retain that family
100% agree.
view
Ashley,
because
you are bleeding pink blood right now. She's been.
I just it's just so heartwarming that like everyone supports each other and like everyone loves each other, even if it is like just this pers like view that they are feeding to audiences. Like, I
But
like
it's the
it.
brand that they've built for one another. And like
Right.
at the end of the day, like this is so weird, but he was on, is on that Home Alone show, right? Live Alone show. And he invited Runjin to be a guest on that show and they went hiking together. It's like no one is forcing them to do that. Like that's not in their contract to be like, you have to take care of this little like NCT boy, who
Yeah.
mind you is not even Korean. Like they just want to, right? Like it's a part of that family orient that you're talking about, Ashley. That is definitely that something that sets it apart, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, but again, I tried to be like, okay, SM is definitely my company of choice, but because they're my company of choice, I'm like, okay, they can do so much better in so many other things. So, in general, it feels like our conversation. It sounds like there's a reason why these companies are still in the big three. There are a lot of positives and there are some negatives that come along with it, but they are still staples within the K-pop company, in the K-pop world. So with that, we will wrap up, go ahead and wrap up our first iteration of our K-pop companies. We have a second episode coming up in this series where we'll talk about HYBE, which is the newest addition to all of this conversation, and there is a lot to talk about. So we will be back for that. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at idletalkpod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast directories and streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content requests, feel free to email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory, idletalkpod.uu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, including our playlists, song recommendations, concert and K-drama reviews, as well as information about us. And it can be found in the description of our episodes here. Until next time, we'll talk to y'all later. Happy New Year again. Goodbye.